Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Right now, early in the fourth quarter, well, a tight game. Just give it 5 minutes. The Suns have jumped out to a 94-79 lead over the Nuggets like that. Bridges now has 23 points. He's got four threes. Devin Booker, 15. It has been the entire starting five for the Suns that are really getting it done right now. And they open up the fourth quarter with a 6-0 run, and suddenly Denver is going to find themselves in a really tough spot here the rest of the fourth quarter. I mean, this game got to a 15-point lead, Mike, like that. I mean, it was 4 points, 3 points, 4 points, 5 points, 3 points, and suddenly 15. Like, it happened like it was like a flash flood. It was like an NBA flash flood. How fast this league got out to 15 for the Suns.
Veritable explosion, and Chris Paul at the center of it all. I think they just flashed up a graphic. It came and went pretty fast. But if I read it right, we're looking at an assist-to-turnover ratio that will break some sort of records when we're looking at what he's doing today, what he's done through the playoffs thus far. But right now, 9 assists, 1 turnover. And really, the offense coming alive, Denver settling for a lot of long, stagnant three-point shots where the only people under to rebound are a bunch of Suns players. Like, you're getting into no legit offensive sets and letting this thing run away.
You know, this is the second game tonight, and it's really easy to happen. Well, one of the biggest things in the NBA is how easy it is to get out of what you do. And, you know, listen, you spend an entire season figuring out your identity, what you like to do, how you know you have to win games. And when the playoffs happen and you get punched in the mouth, you forget what got you to where you're at. And you know, it's happening now with the Suns and the Nuggets, where the Suns have been able to take control. And it's not clearly what the Nuggets do as they try to play the Suns game. We watch it tonight in a big way between the Nets and the Bucks, where all the Nets did was hit threes. They were great. They were everywhere. And suddenly the Bucks, we're just going to shoot every three we can as well. It's like, whoa, dude, you guys are 7 for 27. Yes, I get it. The Nets had a huge night shooting threes, right? They made half their threes. They had 21 threes on the night. But Milwaukee, it's like you get into that. Like, we get out of what we do because we feel the game slipping away. So instead of trying to claw our way back in, we try to get everything back at once. Like, we're going to try to get 10 points back with this three. And that's a bad idea. And it's so easy to get out of that mode and start doing exactly what your opponents want you to do. Hey, we want you to come try to shoot with us. Good luck. Ain't going to happen, but good luck. We got Harden. We got Kyrie. We got Doug. Good luck, you want to try to do this with us. That's exactly what the Nets wanted them to do, and it's been exactly what the Suns want the Nuggets to do.
Yeah, when the Bucks went away from trying to work inside, they only shot 2 free throws in the first half. Right, and obviously they had their doors blown off in the first, and then it got uglier from there, if you can believe it. A game-high 49-point lead before they got it to a respectable 39 to finish. Okay, just kidding. You're absolutely right. I mean, Giannis is a guy working down in the low post. What's he doing? Settling for mid-range jumpers and three-point shots and then continuing to miss free throws, which once he actually got there. So you got that problem. Chris Middleton couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Instead of driving, trying to create some lanes, some passing, and moving the ball, nothing. Meanwhile, you've got the Nets that, you know, the excellence of execution. We use it on the show, the Bret Hart quote. I mean, they're swinging the ball around the perimeter, and there's Joe Harris standing by himself. Okay, thank you. There's another three. So just regular season playoffs. It's two very different styles of game, and what worked in the last series doesn't necessarily translate, and it reminds you how quickly things can change, just like this game, right? You snapped your fingers. If you went away for a water break in between the third and fourth quarter, you came back to, wait a minute, what? It ballooned out to 18? What the hell's going on here? Either way, I would ask this question, owing back to our conversation at the end of last hour. Which was more entertaining? Paul Mayweather or the Bucks Nets?
Well, it was kind of the same thing, right? Mayweather knocked out Paul, but had to hold him up for the rest of the fight. The Nets knocked out the Bucks in the second quarter, but they had to hold him up
because
they
had to play 36 minutes. Yeah,
yeah, we got to play 36 more minutes, man. Just stay with me a little bit longer, man.
Somebody throw a white flag already. throw a towel.
Throw the damn towel! It's Duke
exactly.
Yelling in the in Rocky Four. Throw
Duke,
the damn
absolutely.
Towel! You know, you would think just really quick. You would have think that Rocky would have been haunted more by not throwing the towel in. Because he was only kind of haunted. Sorry, spoiler.
Well, but no, it's like Top Gun. You got like a minute, and then
He had the big, you know, he had the big, you know, he had to graduate, and then he had the big, you know, mission that he had to have. Which, oh, by the way, in Top Gun, if there's a ship that becomes disabled, you don't have anybody else closer to the area. It's 24 hours to get your pilots there. I mean, really? If a ship is disabled, don't you need some air support like quicker than a day from now? I mean, why'd you have to wait to fly Iceman and Maverick there?
Super secret mission. I don't know.
It would... He could have got a plane. It's got to be a plane closer than taking 24 hours to get there.
But either way, I mean, the point being, you know, like we all deal with tragedy differently. In this particular case, both Rocky and Maverick, they had their next piece of work to do. Like so many people, after something happens to them in their personal lives, whether it's, you know, something with their job, with their kids, with their, you know, significant other, you know, a loss in the family, sometimes you just got to get back to work. And I think those are two high-profile examples.
Yeah,
much
look,
like the Bucks, they immediately went back to work going, what the hell happened?
No, but look, with Top Gun, yeah, what you do up there, it's dangerous. But, like, Apollo would have gotten over Rocky throwing the towel in form if he lost to Drago. I mean, come on, Drago's a big dude, man. He's a great boxer. Okay, eventually he would have said, "Oh, Paul, you would have died if I didn't throw the towel." He would have said, "You threw that in. You made me look bad." That's pretty good, Carl Weathers, actually. And they would have got over it. But no, I'm not going to throw the
towel.
You
think so? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you would have wounded his pride forever.
And Apollo walks away. Nah, he should have dwelled on it more. I think that should have been.
And maybe the loss of Apollo spurred on the energy and greatness of a country. How about that?
Let me see. Okay, so Rocky IV as an economic jump starter. I'm going to write that down. I got that right there. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen down the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So we'll keep you going with the Nuggets and the Suns, but it is a 15-point lead for the Suns right now. Make it a 17-point lead with just under 6 minutes left to go. It looks like this one, game one in the West Semis, is going to go to the Phoenix Suns. Meanwhile, Tom Thibodeau was named NBA Coach of the Year today. Now, clearly...
Yes, he was.
He was, right? And if you remember, I told you beginning of the season, I got the tweet. It's there. I mean, it's part of me being red hot with it, with predictions. I told you beginning of the year, Thibodeau was going to be a guy that was going to be the favorite because his position cut through the clutter, right? This is not, here's a guy who's hired and let's see how the team does. Oh, they improve their team this way. This was a guy going in to an impossible job in a high profile situation. And if he succeeded, it was going to be big front page news, right? Because that cuts through the clutter, right? When you talk about, Monty Williams did a great job with the Suns, doing a great job with the Suns. But going into the woebegone Knicks, who didn't have any players, and turning them into a 41-win team and a fourth seed team in the East, yeah, I told you he was going to win. If he made the Knicks good, he was going to win. And he's the NBA Coach of the Year. So I told you it was going to happen, and it did. I should have put money on it. I mean, again, I go back to not putting money on it, and I should have put money on it. But I told you he was going to be the Coach of the Year. I know you like Monty Williams, and it's not that he's not a great coach, but when you're splitting hairs with, okay, who had a little bit more input on his team? You're talking about Thibodeau, who came in with this defensive system that said, if we follow this, we're going to win, where Monty Williams said, hey, you know what? Why don't we get Chris Paul to pass the basketball to Devin Booker? That's going to be really good. I'm going to sit back and have a latte and watch what happens. You know, you had a great player already on the Suns to start with. Yes, it's the Western Conference, but you already had Devin Booker, and I would have traded everybody on the Knicks for Devin Booker. Every NBA guy would do the same thing. I'll trade everybody on the Knicks for Devin Booker. And oh, by the way, you have a number one overall pick in DeAndre Ayton. So you had a pretty good starting spot already if you're Monty Williams with talent. And then you come in, you add Chris Paul, look at what the team does, right? 51 wins, it's awesome. But Thibodeau, what he did with the Knicks, I mean, clearly he was the only choice because this is a woebegone team that had the over-under at 22 wins for this year, and they doubled it. They doubled it. He turned Julius Randle into a superstar.
Did you make any money off that?
No, I put it all in non-fungible tokens, and I didn't make it.
If you did it right, you made a lot more money than you would have on the Knicks.
No, the thing is, instead of Julius Randle, I bet on Lenny Randle, and that was difficult.
Well, he's a Mets legend.
Yeah, he is. He is. I'm thinking of other people famous named Randle.
The legendary Tony Randle, who sired a child in his 80s.
Oh, yes. Well,
that's that going for you.
Yeah, but it's not spelled the same. It's a different.
It doesn't matter.
R-A-N-D-A-L-L. This is R-A-N-D-L-E.
We're just talking about people named Randle in the conversation.
Wasn't Tom Cruise's character in The Outsiders named Steve Randle? There was him. Yes, that's right.
Madeline just read that book and she hated it.
Don't ask me why I know that.
No, okay. That's okay. Sometimes
you got to see the movie. You can read the book, but you go, wait, you got Swayze and Rob Lowe and Emilio Estevez.
They're watching it for the end of the year, is my understanding.
And Ralph Macchio, and you have Tom Cruise and Stay Gold,
sure.
Pony Boy. Stay Gold, and you got Diane Lane and Matt Dillon.
Thomas, right? Diane Lane.
Yes, that's a much better movie to see
than celebrate
to read
Diane
the book.
Lane's entire catalog.
How many times have you watched Unfaithful? Like 30, 40?
Too many.
Yeah. If I ever find that Olivier Martinez, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
Only spots, though. Only spots. But look, the Tom Thibodeau discussion, though, it works, right? Monty Williams, as you said, good base, 8-0 in the bubble. So they're coming in with some momentum. You had Chris Paul, who should have gotten more love for MVP than he did, but overshadowed by the numbers put up by Devin Booker. Right, what Chris Paul meant, bringing them to that next level, kind of got a bit understated when you got Booker averaging 25 a game, and it kind of mutes Chris Paul's overall impact there, and that's fine. And DeAndre Ayton is developing, and that's great. And Chris Paul's bringing out the best of him, as you've seen during this game this evening, particularly as Paul takes things over in the fourth quarter. But some early chances from Ayton helped to spread the court a bit. So when we look at your Tom Thibodeau, you went from being a complete laughing stock. Look, we went a whole year with no good James Dolan stories. Think about that. A whole season of Knicks basketball and nothing.
Maybe he was
Now, the Garden was in there. What's that?
Maybe he was just on tour all year.
Where?
I think his band, if I'm not mistaken, played in Olive Garden in the Orange County about a month ago.
Well, how did we not know about this, and why didn't we go?
Hey, everybody, who wants free breadsticks? Everybody loves free breadsticks. We're
but, like,
JD
nothing was open. Right? He couldn't have toured. So he was around. He just obviously let his basketball guys do basketball things. And you bring in Tom Thibodeau, and you have a big push in New York, obviously. Let's call it what it is. The Knicks being relevant for a while here before getting bounced in the first round made for a great story. And for Tom Thibodeau, it was a lot of look what he did to help the young Julius Randle become a star. And look, there's Derrick Rose again. So there were some great redemption stories here. So he wins his second Coach of the Year award, and he'll get it at home while he's watching these games.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen down the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Hey, wait till I tell you coming up later on this hour why the Knicks need to fire Tom Thibodeau, and I'm serious about that. They absolutely need to fire him. They need to fire him. After what happened this weekend, he needs to be fired because I'm going to improve the Knicks by firing him. How? Oh, don't worry, I'll tell you. That's what we call a tease in the business, ladies and gentlemen.
Boom.
Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, we got more on this game coming up. It looks like the Suns are going to get out of game one with a huge victory. But straight ahead, I'm going to tell you about one player who, if you want him in the offseason, you're going to be able to get him really easy. That's coming up next. You know, I do these teases sometimes just because I know T-Shirt's going to play something fun. That's coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, now it looks like Jimmy Eat World has to play halftime of all the Suns games. Suns beat the Nuggets. They run away from them early in the fourth quarter. 17-point win, 122-105. The Suns take game one of the Western Conference semis. It was nip-tuck throughout the first two and a half, nearly the end of the first three quarters, but the Suns went on a big run and they kept that lead all the way through. And look, clearly a game that was close at halftime. Jimmy Eat World plays halftime. I mean, they're an Arizona band. I mean, they haven't had a hit in 20 years. But Jimmy Eat World now is going to have to play every single game for the Suns because now they're a good luck charm. Now you got to find more songs for Jimmy Eat World to have other than their first one.
They've got 10 albums, man.
They only have one song.
It doesn't matter. Here's one from our latest album.
That's the point in the concert when everybody goes to the bathroom. Here's a song from our new upcoming album. Oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Would you believe they actually had a number one on the follow-up to Bleed American called Pain?
A number one song?
No way.
No way.
No way.
That's the song that just played coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but that was I didn't even know it. That's the thing. I didn't even know it.
That evidently went to number one. And you have really ticked off Ryan Bershinger.
He is hot. On Best Arizona Bands, you know, local bands chart that went to number one. I mean, really? No way. I didn't even know that song. I just knew there was Jimmy Eat World. I said, T-shirt, come back with a Jimmy Eat World song. Which one? I go, I don't know. They only have one. Whatever one you want to pick.
So angry.
But here's the thing now.
Why are you so mad?
We now have an opening here at Fox Sports Radio if you'd like to be an executive producer because Ryan Bershinger, our executive producer who has been with us now for the past year during COVID, you know, Justin Frostberg producing from home, it's been a great thing. He just gave us 2 weeks' notice because of what I said about Jimmy Eat World. Bersh just put on Twitter, all right, that's it. How about a Fresca just slandered Jimmy Eat World on the air for 5 minutes? Sorry, Fox Sports Radio, this is my 2 weeks' notice. Once you put it on Twitter, that's for real, man. You can't take that back, Bersh. I mean, you're done in 2 weeks.
Well, unfortunately, nobody's going to hear this because they have to hear it live because the podcast isn't going up now.
We're going to edit this out of the podcast.
None of the podcasts are going up now. I'm just hanging out here until I'm done. So, hey, you know what? That's all good.
All right, so get your resumes in. Mm-hmm. FoxSportsRadio.com. Tyshirt, where do you send the resumes to work? What's the address?
Send it to notjasonsmith@iHeartMedia.com.
All right, very good. Okay, so send it there if you want to be an executive producer at Fox Sports Radio. Because, hey, Bert, it's been a great run for you, man. You've done a lot of great things.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry that the Jimmy Eat World conversation is forcing you to move on in your life.
It's all right. I got to do what I got to do. Okay, I got to stick up for my guys here, so that's all right.
I've re-examined my life, and I just can't take that Jimmy Eat World thing. I quit.
Well, Jay, we have an opening at iHeart for new email. If you'd like the position, it's Jimmy1@iHeart. So,
Jimmy. All right. So, yeah, clearly now it's going to be Jimmy. We're going to get Jimmy Eat World songs for the rest of the show. And I'm going to go, who the hell is this? It's Jimmy Eat World. Oh, yeah. More songs that nobody knows about. All right. Great. But seriously, look, I picked the Nuggets in this series. I mean, I didn't pick the Bucks. Remember, I did not pick the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals. I picked the Nuggets in this series. And it's surprising to me how quickly the Nuggets got away from what they did well. And a close game in the fourth quarter turns into something that, how did this happen so fast to Denver? Because clearly they got away from what they did. Jokic was really held down. I mean, he was on pace for a monster game, and he winds up 22-9-7. And this is a series where if you're going to beat the Suns, Jokic needs to have a Luka Doncic type series. And I would be stunned if this is not the last game that Jokic has where he doesn't affect the team this much. He's going to be a guy that now, okay, we have to make sure he carries us. And that's what I thought was going to be a bad matchup because look, the Suns didn't have anybody to guard Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis was hurt and he was passive and it worked for the Suns. Jokic is none of those things. And it's like the Nuggets forgot how, you know, what got them there, and they got away from what they did for just a little bit. And the Suns, with their shot making, were able to pull this game out. But I will tell you for certain, this is the last game Jokic has with this kind of stat line.
If he's reminiscent
in the 30s every game, and if he's not a triple double in every game the rest of the way, I'll be surprised.
Well, the assist category is the one that you've got to circle because normally, even if it doesn't follow into the box score, but at least making plays and making opportunities for his teammates. We saw this in game one of the last series where it's like, all right, go score your points, but the other guys, you know, are going to be the ones that are going to have to beat us. And then it shuffled a bit, and you saw the big numbers that he put up, some big performances, he and Michael Porter Jr. They're going to need more from him, just 6 of 13 on the night. Morris was awful. Right, that's another guy that they got a lot from last series. He was 1 of 10 from the field, -28 for the night. Absolutely lost. And then offensively, couldn't even give you at least a little bit of balance there. But defensively, just a huge liability. And Chris Paul took over. So they've got to figure out how to solve Chris Paul. Remember when he was supposed to be hurt, and we saw all the stuff on his shoulder, and it's Chris Paul again. Well, Chris Paul showed up in a big way tonight. So they got to figure out how to slow him down, right? It's the two-part process. Yeah, great. Jokic has to be that alpha on a whole other level. By the way, the blowout scenario, for those that are paying attention, I did get 2 minutes of bowl, including an errant three-point shot. So I got my wish. Not how I wanted it, because I've got the Nuggets running all the way to the finals. I went bold in this year's picks, because, as they say, you get no laurel crown for outrunning a burrow. But not the ending I had in mind, for sure.
No, and he needs to go full alpha, right? He needs to do that, because that's the only way they're going to win. He doesn't have Jamal Murray. Look, Michael Porter Jr. is a nice player, right? And he's coming up, and eventually, if he's the third guy, okay, great, right? He looks like, but you're missing Jamal Murray, and he is such a big deal. I mean, it's the biggest injury of the playoffs, because this is a team that went from, hey, they're an NBA final contender, to, okay, now they got to make sure that Jokic is the guy that carries them. And clearly he can. He is that good. We've watched him as an MVP candidate really back up his MVP candidacy. I mean, he's not Giannis, where suddenly the playoffs happen, it's like, oh, hey, I'm tired, man. I'm good, man. I did all my stuff during the regular season. No, but you need to make sure everything goes through him. And he can't have 22-9-3 nights. He's got to be 34-13-7 or 35-12-10. I mean, this is the night he has to have. And it was very – I don't want to say it was passive, but like I said, Denver got away from what they do well, and clearly they didn't run things for Jokic nearly as much. I got a feeling that's the last time that happens this series. Even if Denver does go down, that it's going to be – you look at Jokic's stats and how much they run the team through him, it will be a Doncic versus is the Clippers type stat line for him.
Well, you got to go down swinging, right? I mean, that's the big thing. Can't be passive. A lot of shot attempts early, and then late we saw the secondary players doing their best, but overall just a bad shooting night from outside, and then no answer in the fourth quarter. Defensively, they got to figure out some way to slow down. A lot of fast break opportunities late in the game, long rebounds and baseball passes down court that they had no answer for. Defensively, just didn't show up. And Michael Malone, never call him Mike, I'm sure in the post game that's the first thing he's going to be asked about is, what happened to your defense? Not that you're supposed to shut down Phoenix, but at moments, well, actually, if it was me asking the question, I guess this is how it would be phrased. Looks like your team quit on defense after a while. How do you feel?
Hey, Mikey, let me say, well, you don't like Mike, so I can call you Mikey. Oh, no, I can't call you Mikey? Oh, all right, that doesn't work. Michael,
I've got two people in my life that I ever allowed to call me Mikey.
Mikey? Well, one, let me guess. One was your mom. And one was an aunt who always gave you $20 when she came to visit.
No, 20 is a bit over, but
yeah, oh, okay.
Usually,
so
$10. Usually a fin.
Yeah. Okay, all right, that's nice. Okay, here you go. You're a good boy. God bless you. Come give me a kiss.
Right proposition, wrong denomination.
All right, well, there you go. But I was right. It was somebody that brought you money when you were a kid, because that was always the answer. It's like, will you come see, you know, your Aunt Hazel? She always brings you money. Ooh, all right, I'll see Aunt Hazel for a little bit. Okay, that's fine. Hey, Mikey, here's your $5.
Stop
You're
it.
You're a good boy.
That's
Why don't you
creepy.
Go down and buy some baseball cards? Well, I'm going to go buy
well, we
NFTs.
Could.
They're non-fungible tokens. What is that? It's 1988. Oh, they're going to be big in like 30 years. You just watch, Aunt Hazel. All right, give me a kiss. Mwah. Now go back and look at your football cards. Tell me what Bears team was the best Bears team. All right, thanks, Mikey.
I didn't have any I'm not going to offend anybody, so I'm just going to leave it alone.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe you saw this story today, but clearly Kristaps Porzingis is a man who is not long for Dallas. Why? Well, according to multiple reports today, he is not happy in Dallas because he is frustrated with his role because he, quote, feels like an afterthought next to Luka Doncic. Oh, really? You're an afterthought next to a guy who's one of the top five players in the game? Oh, my heart bleeds for Kristaps Porzingis, who, you know what, dude? This is what you wanted, so suck it up. Okay, no sympathy for you. You wanted out of New York. They were building the bleeping team around you. They had already started to build it around you. Just because it didn't work doesn't mean they weren't going to keep building it around you. No, no, I want out. You and your brother go into the Knicks offices and say, we want out. We're not going to re-sign. No, no, we want out. Okay, we trade you to Dallas. Look, hey, it's great, right? You can be there. You and Luke are going to win championships. They gave you away. The Knicks gave you away. The best player they got back was Dennis Smith Jr., who's not even on the team anymore. All right, they gave you away. And now here you are 2 years later, and you still can't stay healthy, and it's clear that you're not a good 1A. So now the Mavericks are going to go looking for somebody else. You know what? This is on you. Suck it up, because it's exactly what you wanted. You wanted out. You didn't want to be in New York. You wanted to go someplace else. Now you go to Dallas. Now, oh, I feel like I'm being underappreciated. You know what? You wanted it. You got it. Now you got to fix it. So suck it up.
Look at that. There's a lot of anger. There's still resentment that he never became that guy in New York, and yeah.
Look, when they give you a chance, when a team gives you a chance to be the guy to build around, and you're not the lockdown superstar franchise player, like you're pretty good. You know, if you go someplace else, they're not going to build around you. But the team that drafted you, that has the most invested in you, they're going to give you every single chance to succeed. So the fact that you said, no, I don't want to do it, you want to be a big star, and you say, I'm going to trade New York for Dallas. Okay, maybe you want a different kind of life, different kind of pace life. I get it. New York's not for everybody. You might like Dallas. I understand. That's fine. But now you go, now you're upset. Oh, I'm not a bigger star. You're not nearly the bleeping player that Luka Doncic is.
No,
he's three times the player you are, and he's going to be healthy, and he's going to dominate. I don't know that you're going to be healthy, and you know what? You're a 16-11 guy. There's like 40 guys in the NBA that can go 16-11. There's 40 guys like that, and they gave you all kinds of money, and you are clearly not living up to it. So yeah, suck it up. You wanted it. This happened. Now you got to deal with it. It's suck it up night here on the show.
I'll just try to figure out where he fits in the NBA, because if he's not happy there, where's he going to go? He's going to go bounce again, and what's he going to be, a third guy there, right? It's one thing to be a big man and play like a big man. That's not what he does, right? That's not his game, and averaging 18.7 per game for his career is fine. 7.8 rebounds, a bit low, nearly 9 per game during the regular season this year, but then only, what, 5.4 in the playoff loss to the Clippers. He was a non-factor, and you can't let him work on the low block. He doesn't want any part of it. And perhaps you've just decided he can't do it because he's too frail. He misses too many games and can't take the pounding down low, so you've got to work him on the perimeter. And that just becomes a great disadvantage, right? You see more of Boban. Big body, willing to be a bruiser down low, but doesn't have touch at all around the rim, right?
So you're in a library something with Keanu Reeves. I mean, there's
you're like, spoiler alert, you've already ruined Rocky IV, Top Gun, and so many other movies tonight.
I did ruin those movies.
Well, you did. But when you look at Porzingis, a guy comes in and you're expecting him to be not even a 1A, even if he's just a 2. He didn't live up to that. He was being supplanted by Tim Hardaway Jr. for that on multiple occasions. And we go back to the same thing of, well, you've got to be able to be available, right, for your squad. The number one rule in all of sports, all in radio too, is availability. And 43 games in the regular season, 57 last year, so fine, you know, but didn't play in 2018. Go back to 2017, played only 48 games. I mean, the most he's ever played in his career was his rookie year, played 72 games. Otherwise, you're looking at a guy that can't stay on the court. And so how is he a building block? And he's got to understand that, right? This is where the ego's got to get pushed to the side a bit. And I know that's hard to do. Again, when people have been kissing your ass your entire life, you had multiple songs written about you as a rookie in New York. I mean, one that made you want to go walk into the ocean because it was hypnotic in fashion. The other that you wanted to clap along and sing. I mean, they were beautiful things. But you're not that guy anymore. Now you're in the middle of your career. You're still young. But going back to the old Jack Nicholson line, what if this is as good as it gets? That you're a part-time player, and every once in a while you get a big throwback game to your first or second season. You can't build a team that way. You become just an ancillary part, or a guy, God forbid, even working off the bench. And we know his ego is not going to allow him to be that guy right now.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And here's the thing is that while he's got to suck it up, I'm sure he's going to get traded. I'm sure because, look, the Mavericks know we can't go forward like this, right? We need a new mix of players around Luka. Porzingis doesn't work out. And unfortunately, hey, could they keep him and say, all right, you're our number three guy? Yeah, you could, but he's already not happy being an afterthought right now. What if he's more of an afterthought? So you're going to have to move him. The good news is with a couple of years left on his deal, it's a lot of money, but there will be other teams that will say, hey, we like his talent. This might be a better fit. We like him. You're going to give him away because the other team's going to say, all right, we're just going to make the salaries match and figure things out. So you're not going to get a lot for him, but to be able to move on from him, to have the money at later on to be able to pay for a new mix of players around Luka, that's really what you want. And it's not like you have to worry about saying, oh boy, look at how this deal looks 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we traded for him. You didn't give up anything for him. Right, so
even if you did, I mean, you're long past that because you got into a playoff series that you should have won.
Yeah, and when you compare it, no one's going to say there's not going to be big red flags like, oh, look at this, this coaching staff, this front office doesn't know how to make these moves. It's well, we didn't really give anything for him, and we're not going to get anything for him either. Okay, we have the money free. Let's go get somebody else to play around Luka. We figure it out. So that's what you're going to need to do. You're not going to get anything for him. Some team will take him and say, okay, he still could be, he's young enough, and maybe if he's our third best guy, he likes it here better, and we treat him better. We make sure we say hi to him every time we come in every day. Hey, Kristaps, how you doing, KP? All right, man, you good? All right, don't want you to feel underappreciated. Hey, I stopped at Starbucks, man. You want a coffee? Ah, just for you, man. Caramel macchiato. You got it right there, man. It's all good. Hey, whatever you need, man. Hey, KP, what's happening, man? Hey, just want to see how you're doing. Going to have some people over on Friday. We're going to watch a Jake Paul fight. Yeah, him and his brother are going to fight Floyd Mayweather at the same time. You want to come? Got it, man. Hey, we'll see you. Hey, don't worry about it, too. We're going to bring chips and food and everything else. Just show up whenever you want to show up. Bring whoever you want to bring, man. It's all good. It's just a $10 cover at the door. So maybe a team does that and makes him feel better, but somebody will want him.
Let
Twitter
it go.
It out about Fresca. Yeah. Mike at Swollen Dome.
I'm done with Porzingis. He let me down in a big way. Expected one game for him to at least attempt to take over, and he did nothing.
And
gave me nothing.
Not getting it.
Did a lot of posing after his very rare dunks. And it's like, okay, that's great. Do that again. It can't be an every other game thing.
So, Twitter, 877-99 on Fox. Mike is done with Porzingis. You got to where I was 2 years ago. So it took you 2 years to get to where I am, buddy. Congratulations.
Well, I get there eventually.
It's all right. It's all right. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, hey, speaking of the NBA, I'm going to say something, and you're going to say, oh, my God, you're crazy. I'm telling you. Tom Thibodeau, coach of the year in the NBA today for the Knicks. The Knicks need to fire Tom Thibodeau tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you why coming up next. Trust me, I'm going to tell you why coming up next. And I'm going to say it, and you're going to go, oh, yeah. No, the Knicks really have to do that. I'm telling you. Coach of the year. I love Tibbs. He's great. Knicks got to fire him tomorrow. Why? That's next. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio. Is this Jimmy Eat World? I'm sure it is, right? It's Jimmy Eat World?
For all you know, it is.
It's catchy. I want to rock out to it. Let's go!
This is a song that I used to listen to back in 2006 when my life was fierce. And I was just in college. I was a sophomore, and I was, you know, learning about Facebook and how social media was going to impact the world in the rest of the aughts and into the teens.
Can I stop you right there?
Yes.
How old do you think Bershiger is?
Bersh is, let's see, T-shirt, what are you, 23?
No, I'm 30. What?
Oh, you're right, okay. Bersh, I think, is, I'm going to say Bird. Let's see, if college was, hang on, 20, Bersh is 33.
I'm 28. Which is also old enough to know that was yellow card. That was not Jimmy.
I was. Oh, now we're playing yellow card.
Well,
oh,
okay. Never
I'll give
heard
you
of
a
them.
Yellow card. How about that? All right, so that's 28. It. All right, that's fine. All right. Well, I thought Burst Away, like Jimmy Eat World, their big song was like in 2002. I thought you were a little bit older.
Nah, someone handed him down that CD. Come on.
I didn't know Burst was like 9 listening to Jimmy Eat World going, this middle song is great. Are they going to ever have another one, Dad? Well, here's the thing. Sometimes bands put all they have into just one song, and then they try really hard, but they really can't ever duplicate it. Daddy, that's so sad. Yes, but they make a lot of money off that one song, and they can tour forever. Let me tell you about the Monsters of Rock tour. All right, why don't you go to Wikipedia right now and go look and see. Jimmy Eat World playing halftime of the Suns' Game 1 victory tonight. They're going to have to play Game 1 all the time, or at halftime all the time. That's how it's going to go. So let me just say this. Tom Thibodeau, you know what I think about the guy. Awesome coach, right? Best head coach in the league. Very, very apropos and deserving winner of Coach of the Year in the
NBA.
Well,
the number, he dominated the second place votes. That was enough to overtake Monty Williams.
That's
who actually
had,
more first place votes.
You just have enough people thinking you're number two, and you're going to wind up being number one. It's how it works. Yes, number two. So, he's great, right? He's awesome. I love him. The guy did everything. The Knicks need to fire him immediately. Fire him immediately.
Hey, Alex, can we have the dumpster behind this, please?
The fire?
When he's standing up at the dais, you pull the Knicks logo off, put a generic NBA logo on. You go, Tom, I need your keys. Take off that Knicks pullover. Here's a generic NBA pullover. That's great. Yes, no, we're firing you. Why? Well, it's pretty simple. We found out this weekend, Jason Kidd pulled his name from the running to be the Blazers' next head coach. This after Damian Lillard said on Friday that Jason Kidd's my guy. Who's who he wanted to be the head coach of the Blazers? Jason Kidd said, yeah, I don't know. This is really weird. It's a little awkward, so I'm pulling my name out of the running. So you fire Tom Thibodeau, you hire Jason Kidd, and we will get Damian Lillard. And boom, I've just made the Knicks into an NBA title contender. You fire the guy that got you. And that's great. You listen, they got all the stuff that he liked to teach on tape. We could all still do all that defensive stuff. But you hire Jason Kidd, and now you get Damian Lillard because he's going to want to go, and the Knicks can just give up a bunch of guys. Here, take Kevin Knox. Take a couple of guys we don't play anymore. Here's some other picks. Here's some all our lottery picks of the last 5 years. All of them stunk. Yeah, take all those guys. Here, take Obi Toppin. We'll take Damian Lillard, and boom. The Knicks are in the NBA Finals next year. You fire Thibodeau, you get Jason Kidd, who is clearly Damian Lillard's guy, and you're in the finals. I should be an NBA GM. This is forward thinking, but it's like it's very easy. Okay, superstar wants this coach. We fire our coach, bring that coach in, we get that superstar. That's how it works.
Just remember, he also mentioned Chauncey Billups, so you got to figure out how to get Billups and Kidd to work together too, so that you have a monopoly of the guys that Lillard has name-checked.
Well, look, I can only solve one problem a day. I mean, I'll solve the Chauncey Billups thing tomorrow.
But that's a loose end. And as we know from film and television, that ends up bad.
He told Yahoo that he said, Jason Kidd is my guy. Okay, so that's not – he didn't say Jason Kidd or Chauncey Billups. He said, Jason Kidd is my guy. Okay, it's Jason Kidd. Great, boom. Well, I'll trade you Tom Thibodeau. Listen, I'll give you Tom Thibodeau. You give us Damian Lillard, and there you go. And that's the trade then. That's the trade. We'll figure out the money part because I know that it doesn't work with the money. But we'll figure it out, right? You get Tom Thibodeau and then you give us Damian Lillard and we're good.
I love the
I'm in the NBA Finals.
You need to get back out of the house a little bit more. Some fresh air, some walks around the neighborhood.
You know, this is like if, you know, when you go to a job and some places have this where they go, okay, we have meetings once a week or once a month where we say, give me any idea. Doesn't matter how stupid it is.
No,
let's see if it works. And I would walk in, I go, we fire Tibbs and we bring in Jason Kidd because we're going to get Damian Lillard. And people would go, what are you? All right, let's play this out for a little bit and see how this works. And then, boom, I gotcha.
I mean, look, you can't get any better with Tibbs. I mean, given the history, year two, year three, hey, let's grind for 48 starts to wear on guys.
True, true. Hey, we're just getting ahead of the curve, right? They're going to want to get – but they're going to want to get rid of Jason Kidd, too. Doesn't matter. No, he's starting new. We got two more years with him. Oh, that's great. See, I'm a GM, Mike. I'm solving problems.
Coach.
Hey, the NFL team that's really got to suck it up coming up next. Fox.